God, we do declare that your name is holy in this place. And we truly worship you. We give you our lives, we give you our hearts, we give you our time, we give you our resources. We recognize that every good and perfect gift that we have comes from you. We give you everything that we have. And we thank you for the opportunities that we have to gather in this place, to lift up your name, to hear from your word, to hear who we are as people that have been found in you, even if once we were enemies with you because of the things that we did. Your word says that now we are redeemed, we are rescued, we are healed. In fact, you say that we belong to you, that we are sealed with the promise of your spirit, and that our lives are transformed because of the grace poured out for us. So God, speak your truth over us once more. As we hear from your word, as we share stories about lives that have been transformed, as we hear from our friend and brother, captivate us. Speak truth to us. And may we be drawn into your beautiful presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I would invite you to remain standing at this time. And our scripture is the same as it was last week, and it will probably be the same next week, because it is the theme upon which, or it is the scripture upon which our theme is found. And it's 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 17. And actually, I'm going to invite us to read this together. Tell people who are rich at this time not to become egotistical and not to place their hope on their finances, which are uncertain. Instead, they need to hope in God, who richly provides everything for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good and to be rich in the good things they do, to be generous and to share with others. When they do these things, they will save a treasure for themselves that is a good foundation for the future. That way they can take hold of what is truly life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Before we get started with the conversation that we are going to have here in a minute, I do want to reiterate what is going to happen next week. We are talking about stewardship. We are. And we're being bold about it. We cast this vision last week about what kind of church we want to be and why we do what we do. And if you haven't listened to that, I'd encourage you to go find that on the internet and listen to that, because it sets forth the foundation of why we do what we do. We want to be a church of Jesus Christ that is fearless and bold about proclaiming the good news that God's love has been revealed in Jesus and his kingdom is coming. And so we do everything out of a passion to make that truth known. And this week we're going to hear a story from somebody that you all know, or at least have all seen, but you might not know his story in as much detail. So we're going to talk about that. And then next week, we are going to ask you to bring your pledge and your commitment cards. And this is much more than just making a financial contribution or a financial commitment to the church. It includes that. And we are going to ask you to do that. But also in the packets that you'll receive in the mail, and we'll have some around the church next week, it includes a chance for you to say, I'm going to commit to covenant with this church by participating in serving in these numerous types of ways. And so it has an opportunity for you to do that too. So if you know you love decorating for Christmas Eve services, I mean, there's an opportunity for you to do that. If you know you love working with children or youth, there's an opportunity for you to do that. If you know that you really just love to cook and that's it, there are opportunities for you to cook and contribute to the strengthening of the body of Christ with the glory of God's, culinary creation. There's opportunity for you to do that. The point is, find a place where you believe that you are partnering with God for the strengthening of the body of Christ and commit to do that with your time and your resources and so on. So we are going to ask you to do that next week. In addition to that, in continuing the idea of why we do what we do and sharing God's vision, we are having a very special baptism next week as well. Many of you know Anthony Morgan, and you may have seen his daughter, Antoinette, They are just some of the coolest people in the world. And I mean that. Anthony and I have known each other for like 10 years or so now. And his story is incredible, but his daughter is just so beautiful. And so we're going to baptize his daughter next week, and it's going to be a full immersion. So you're going to want to see that. It's going to be glorious. So please come next week. If you think that you don't want to come because you don't want to fill out a commitment card, you're going to miss the story of God being poured out on this girl's life. So I will say that. Okay, I'm going to read this to set up my brother to come up here, and we're going to have a conversation. But this is what is written in the bulletin. It gives you a summation of what we're doing today. So listen to this. There is a man, Jamie, you can come on. There is a man who has been hanging around the church for quite a number of years. His look has changed, ranging from long hair and a nicely trimmed beard to short hair and a bushy beard with a prominent handlebar mustache. He's been known to bless kiddos, paint works of art, and help prepare meals. He can be found reading his Bible, praying with others, and generally walking around as if the Lord Jesus is literally right beside him. His steps are a bit slower nowadays, but he is still quick to tell you about what he has found, and that's truly abundant life, as he has learned to trust and follow Jesus. And so today we're going to hear some of his story, and I hope that you've come with expectation to hear the love of God poured out to transform a life. Jamie Sanders, come join me at this time. Right off the bat, you have set the tone high because nobody applauds when I come up here to speak. Clearly, everybody is excited to hear from you, as they should be. So, you've been a part of this church for...
Let's see.
at least 14 years, because I've been here 14.
Since really about, before, I used to do contract work down at PAC. And so it's been in the late 90s, at least for that part on a regular basis. But as far as like being a part of this church, a living part of it, probably since about 2002, around that time.
So you really do differentiate being a part of the church and then part of a living part of the church.
Very much so.
Why do you differentiate like that?
You can be part of a neighborhood and not pick up trash. You can just live there. But you can be part of a neighborhood and be active in it. And this is how I am with this campus and most of you. I can just come on and just kind of attend. But that's not fully living. Huh. I want to live life out as long as I can and be a part of it. And so I want to be in a breathing part of this part of God's body, his church. And I want to be a breathing part of it.
Yeah, so let's go back and let's get some of the story to fill in up to this point. You grew up around this area
In Shreveport.
In Shreveport, Blanchard area, correct? And as soon as you were born, you from that moment on have been walking with Jesus, yes?
That moment and before. Really, though, the truth is that my grandmother on my mom's side, I can remember being just really, really, really small and her teaching me how to pray. And also Jesus loves me. So I think I've always loved God. I just didn't know how to follow him. That came, 1967, when I gave my heart, my life to God. In June of that year, I had a youth revival when I was a Baptist.
I'm just going to skip right on over that.
No one of my jobs is to hang around and scare Baptists away.
So you grew up in Blanchard, and I know after high school you went and joined the Navy. Most people don't know that, correct?
Yeah. Vietnam vet.
Vietnam vet, and we're very thankful for your service.
It was my pleasure.
And
thank you.
And then in addition, from there, you have also had a love of art for all of your life, and you are a world famous artist.
Yes, in my own eyes.
But your love of art has taken you a lot of places. I mean, you have done some amazing things. Will you talk about that for a few minutes?
Sure. It's one of those things when I was born with asthma. I literally came out of my mom's body with asthma. I was going to say another word, but I'm ready. But so I was born with asthma, so I've always had problems breathing. And when I was really small, what we did back then, we used to have, remember vaporizers? Do you know what vaporizers are? They're horrible. But you just kind of lay there, and you breathe in this menthol stuff that helps clear your lungs out. And some of my family members saw that they just felt sorry for me because all I did was just could lay there. And that was, we didn't have a TV downstairs where I was staying at the time. So they taught me how to do art. And so that's always been part of my life, is my artwork. And it's one of those elements that's who you are. And my artwork is kind of who I am. There's no going around it. That's kind of who I am and what I do. And it wasn't until much later that I found out why I was gifted that. And that was, you know, much later in time. But so, yeah, it's been part of my healing factor. Art has.
So I want to come back to that, maybe if I can remember to ask about that as an expression of worship for you.
Okay.
But I know, because I know your story, and you can go as far as you want with this, but there was a period of time where you sort of wandered away from the foundation given to you by your grandmother, right,
yes.
And the church.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Like I said, about 1967, I became a Christian officially, and that stayed with me in a very strong way, even into Vietnam. That was part of my testimony. But in 1977, I was down at college, down at Northwestern. And it was Thanksgiving, 1977. I remember the day. I remember the moment. I decided I wanted to be bad. That's just it. I was tired of being good. I wanted to be bad. A bunch of my fraternity brothers were heading down to New Orleans and have a little bit of break, and I wanted to be bad with them. And so I made the conscious decision I wasn't going to stay bad very long. But the more and more I got into being bad, the better I got at it. I got really good at being bad. But I lived in darkness, that dark place, for almost 3 decades. Doing some stuff that you wonder if Jesus still loves you. Hoping, knowing that he did and does. But it becomes awful when you feel separated from him for almost 3 decades. And it wasn't until really the wake-up call I had was about 2002, 2001, in a drunk tank, waking up in a drunk tank for my second DUI, when I had to clean up my life. And the only way to do it was to ask God to clean it up, because I couldn't do it anymore. Every time I tried, it was on my own terms, and that just doesn't work. So it was in drunk tape I decided I needed to get my life back together again. And like Dee said, I was already kind of on contract labor down here. And I hung around the church, but I never did come up here where you guys were. I kind of hung around dark people like me. So I didn't know how to get started again. slowly but surely, I got involved with, I was already involved with FaithLink through Doug Baker. But it was behind stage. It was backstage where they were worshiping, where folks were worshiping out in the congregation. I was backstage smoking a cigarette, cigarettes, until it was over with, and I helped take down the stage. So I started getting involved in listening to what Doug was preaching and teaching about. And we talked quite a bit. The first thing, the first thing I had to do was I had to separate myself from my friends and some of my family members. I couldn't be around them anymore. It's like if I was an alcoholic and I hung around a bar. I just couldn't do that. So the first thing I had to do was not be around my friends anymore. And I love my friends to this day. I just can't see them anymore or hang around them. I love talking to them, but I can't hang with them. So this is when my family of friends, most of you guys, became not my substitute, but just part of me. Because it was it was through my relation with Jesus that he gave me you guys. And it sort of surprised me, to tell you the truth, because I usually didn't like hanging around a bunch of Christians. I was used to people that could talk the talk and not walk the walk. But all of a sudden, I was hanging around people that could not only walk the walk, but talk the talk as well. So you may want to talk a little while.
Yeah, no, I'm just going to ask you another question, turn you loose again. I've seen you personally over the past 14 years that I've known you, even as you're coming into a deeper understanding of God's love and grace, wrestle with that.
Yeah.
You have wrestled with believing that God's grace is sufficient to cover those 3 decades of darkness. How have you grown in that? And what did it take for you to come to a place of accepting and having peace in your heart that you are forgiven? What was it that led you to that point where you really are free and don't replay all those years and all those mistakes repeat? Man, I ask that because I believe in my conversations with people and just in the journey of being in ministry, that is one of the single most difficult things for people to do is to let go of the mistakes and the past and the sin and to believe and to trust that God's grace really is sufficient. And I know you wrestle with that, but you have come to a place of peace. So talk about that a little bit. What brought you to that place of peace?
I had a problem because some of you know that about some of the really bad stuff I did was forgiving myself. God's forgiveness came easy for me. Because it's just so real. It was so real, his forgiveness. But it was really, really, and at times, you hear those voices that saying, you were such a lousy Christian that there's no way that God's going to take you back. So I usually got rid of those pretty good, but they snuck in. But it was really hard for me to forgive myself. Because I felt like in so many ways, I wasted almost 3 decades of turning my back on my Savior. And so it was really hard for me to forgive myself. Until, it was just a few years back when, Derek and some other friends said, Jamie, you are forgiven. You are forgiven. And I had to come to that place where I forgave myself. If the God of the universe can forgive me, I can surely forgive myself also. So ever since then, I still crawl. And I still fall. And I still mess up. But God's grace just never, it's just, there's, it doesn't give out. It's just always there. It's just for the asking. And there are times when I come in contact or I hear people talk to have such a heavy burden, weights and luggage, baggage that they bring. I just go, listen, please listen. Just let it go. Just let it go. And ask God to forgive you, and then just forgive yourself. Just let it go and fly. So that's kind of, does that help?
Yeah.
Does that answer it?
So you, you are struggling with a physical condition.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I don't know how many
Surprise.
Know that.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Yes.
It makes it pretty difficult for you to breathe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Your steps are a lot slower. You're not able to do as much as you used to do. You've been in and out of the hospital a couple times the past couple years.
Six times. Yeah.
And yet, in the midst of this particular part of your journey and life stage, you have said repeatedly to us that you are the most blessed person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
How can you say that? When it's hard to breathe, when you can't move as fast, how can you come to that conviction?
Well, let's see, for some of you that know and don't know, it was in 2013 when I got double pneumonia. But at the same time, it was complicated because at the same time I came down with a case of histoplasmosis, which is an infection of the lungs. And that was after they dealt with the histoplasmosis up until last year, and that took out this lung. This lung is just like flabby soak sponge. It's of no use. And then 2 years ago, this Thanksgiving, I was in the hospital again for pneumonia. Histoplasmosis makes you really susceptible to pneumonia. And so I've had it five times since I first got in. But the one 2 years ago when I was in took out almost the lower half of this lung. So I'm surviving on half of this lung. That's where I get my breathing from. And the most cathartic moment was when that first time, when I was in with the histoplasmosis and the double pneumonia. And I was a little afraid, but not a whole lot, but a little bit. But the image I kept on getting in my heart, my head, my mind, whatever, was remember, you guys remember a few years back when they had those Snuggies, those one-piece things that were made out of flannel, and they were talking about snuggling up on the recliners and stuff? Okay, well,
somebody bought Mark Sorensen one of those.
He did.
And did he wear it? Did he wear it?
Yes, he did. Yeah,
he
sure
did.
Enough
that's
did.
Right.
He still has a set of them, I think. And that's the feeling or the impression I got during that time was God was my Snuggie. And just wrapped his arms around me. You know how you comfort a baby? You just kind of rock it. That's what it felt like. Everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be fine. And it has been. You know that verse, we're probably going to talk about it, but you know that verse that talks about when I am weak, he is strong. And it's so true. I never did understand some of those things before, some of the verses before. And that was one of them I didn't understand. I've never been strong before like I am now. Just never stronger. Physically, that's another deal. But spiritually, and just totally dependent upon, with my physical breath, totally dependent upon every breath that I can take. You take those moments and you just savor them. Because you just feel the love of God for you. That he's taking care of you. He's doing this. I got you. Everything's going to be just fine. Everything's going to be fine. That's it.
So most of you know, Jamie, this is coming back to the art thing.
Okay.
I joke about you being world famous, but it's sort of a joke, and there's some truth to that, because if you've seen some of his legitimate works of art, they are world class. And you've, because other people have told me who are artists that I've talked to, not like in the larger community, they've told me that you're even over in Dallas, some pretty significant pieces have been purchased and things like that. So you really are an amazing artist, but you have found a way to translate that, or at least to allow that to become a language of worship for you. Mm-hmm. How do you encounter God when you are not just painting, but like you set up our altars and things like that, and every now and again you'll do other works? I mean, these banners that have surrounded us for the years that we've been in here, you've done those. I mean, how does art help you communicate with God or allow the Spirit to move through you?
I wish I knew what it was offhand, but there's a verse in Colossians. And the way I see it and the way I try to translate it, the way I interpret it, is God the Father provides the vision. Jesus is the physical aspect of that vision. And the Holy Spirit interprets it. We all start out as blank canvases, a lump of clay, or a lump of clay. And you just kind of, my interpretation or my feelings of it is that I just allow part of my worship for God to just kind of use it to be with me. And now when I look at when I finish up a piece of art, when I finish a painting or anything like that, I don't worry about if it's ever going to get stolen or sold or anything like that. Because I relax in it, because I know that I get almost so excited, stupid excited when I complete it, somebody buys it, and they say, and I look at them, I say, you're the person I made this for. You're where it stops, maybe. You're the person this was created for. And this goes back to being just taken care of. So that the interpretation, not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to get, you know, this stuff up here. But for those that do, you're the one that's supposed to see it and feel something from it. And I'm okay with not everybody getting it. That's kind of not my responsibility. That's the thing between you and that creative eye and spirit in you. I don't need to be responsible for it anymore. I just kind of relax and let it go.
See, that sets me free with preaching. Not everybody has to get it. It's okay. I might be the only one that understood what I said, and I can be at peace with that. Praise God. So you've been a part of this community for a while.
Yes.
This church, when I say church, you're talking about the body of Christ, not the buildings alone. The body of Christ, the ecclesia, the gathering of the people of God. This gathering has poured into you, and you have poured into it. And one of the things that you said this past week, since we're talking about stewardship and sharing God's vision, and you've been a part of God's vision for a long time, but you have a particular understanding of stewardship that I think probably nobody has really heard before. I hadn't heard it when you mentioned it to me earlier this week. Can you talk about that just for a minute?
Yeah. When I talked about one of the first things I had to do was let go of my old friends, separate myself from them. But I was used to just being active an awful lot. So when I started surrounding myself with wanting to started to surround myself with believers, I found it through, at the time, I didn't really know, but it was serving ministries. Because I worked down at PAC, I was coming in contact with a lot of our neighbors, our homeless neighbors and things. And so I was able to help out in serving ministries doing that. And then as time went on, this campus offers so much in the way of serving the church. I wish I could do all of it, but there's so much to do. If you love kids, you can help with the kids. If you want to be a stronger prayer life, there's prayer ministry. There's ways of just being a source of strength for your brothers and sisters. My deal with that I discovered is that the more I serve, the more I was being served. It just kind of went back and forth. I can never, just like giving, you can never outgive God financially. But it's the same thing with serving. You just cannot outserve what God wants to serve you. It's abundant. And it's real. And it connects. You see things differently. Does that sort of do it?
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that you had said, the specific phrase that I keyed in on was, you said stewardship, because we hear stewardship and a lot of us just blank out, you know, giving money. But you had said stewardship is managing the household of God.
Yeah.
It's about managing the household of God, which you just articulated a little bit, partnering with.
We were looking a few weeks ago, we were looking at what stewardship was. And I knew that the Hebrew word for stewardship basically means taking care of the house. It's taking care of the household. And there, so when you're a steward and invited to be a steward, you're taking care of the house, whether it's the campus or you're invited to take care of the kingdom of God. And we all had that opportunity.
Yeah, thank you. Well, we really are at the end of our time. 30 minutes is not nearly enough to really go into the depth that I would love to go into, but you are an amazing man of God. You have been an incredible friend to me, a pastor to me. Jamie is somebody that when I've gone through hard stuff, that I've gone and talked to him, received counsel from him, because the write-up is true in the bulletin. You just walk with Jesus. You're one of those guys for me that when I think, when I think of people who walk with the Lord, there's people who know about God, there's people who walk with the Lord. You're one of the ones who just walks with the Lord. And so I'm honored to know you and honored to love you and serve with you and partner with you in ministry. And we as a community are blessed beyond words to have the chance to know you. So we pray that God continues to give you years and blessing for the rest of us. Amen. I'm going to close with this scripture, and then we're going to move into a time of communion. This is a passage that Jamie had referenced in some of our conversations, and I think it just fits. Paul said to the church, "I hope with daring courage that Christ's greatness will be seen in my body, now as always, whether I live or die, because for me, living serves Christ, and dying is even better." Jamie's lived that out. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And I hope and pray that as you've heard his story, some of his story, that you get a glimpse of what it looks like to walk with Jesus and to struggle with accepting the love of God, but coming to a place of peace in that. I would say if Jamie can go through that, he is a living witness to the possibility that whatever you're going through in life, you can be encouraged and will be on this journey together, because it hasn't been a journey that you went solo on. Mm-mm. It's been a part of the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what sharing God's vision is all about. Sharing the opportunities to witness life transformation that you've experienced and now that you extend to others around us. So witnessing life transformation, seeing what God is capable of doing, and then partnering and participating in the story of his kingdom. This is what we get to do when we take communion, when we share in this holy meal. We are reminded of the sacrifice that was made for us so that we might have truly abundant life. And this is a chance to step into that life. I know where some of you are. I don't know where all of you are in your faith journey. I know some of the things you struggle with, but I know everybody goes through seasons of wrestling and doubt and fear and battling unforgiveness, whether with another person or yourself, which is very hard to do. This table that's set forth is an opportunity for you to receive the grace and the love of God, and maybe a way that you need to be encouraged, reminded, or receive it for the first time. This is a living demonstration of the sacrifice that God has made because of the love that he has for each of you. So as you come and you take the body of Christ, remember that Jesus gave us this example when he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And Jesus said that this is my body, which is broken for you. And Jesus took the cup and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. So take it and drink it." And when you do this in community, when you do this as the people of God, allow that grace to cover you. Allow that forgiveness to pour over you. Allow the healing presence and activity of the Holy Spirit to fill you, to release you, to take hold of truly abundant life wherever you may be. So at this time, I'd like to invite those who are going to come help serve to come join me as we pray. Father, we do give you great thanks today. We thank you so much for the living witness of our friend and brother, Jamie Sanders. We thank you for how you have blessed his life, how you have protected and covered, how he has followed you, he has strayed from you, he has returned to you, and through it all, your grace has been present with him. And we thank you for this community of faith, because each of us are on that journey somewhere. And we are reminded as we come to the table, not just the table, as we come into this worship space and we sing these songs of praise and we hear your word proclaimed, and as we come to the table, we are entering into the story of your redemptive love. So yes, Lord, we ask that you draw near. We pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and this cup. And may they be for us the body and blood of Christ, that as we receive them, we become the body of Christ redeemed by your blood. May we truly enter into the new covenant. May we be a healed and restored people. And may our lives reflect your glory so that we can say, as the Apostle Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And may we continue to share God's vision. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.